Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. This is Pastor Dave, and I'm really blessed that you listen. I get so many emails each week from listeners each week, and I try to respond. And just the other day when we were out in town, we ran into someone who was listening out in Simi Valley. And what a blessing it is to hear people listen to the Seed of Faith. I produce a weekly written Seed of Faith, and if you'd like that written Seed of Faith, email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, and we will put you on our emailing list, and you'll get a weekly written Seed of Faith. Also, if you need prayer, I want to take a moment and just say our church has seen some wonderful healings and miracles through our prayer ministry. If you need prayer, email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship, or you can go to our website at www.theSeedChristianFellowship and post your prayer concern, and we're praying for you. We get a lot of prayer concerns each week from listeners around the area, plus people around the world that are asking for prayer. What a blessing it is when we gather together in prayer. We've been doing a series on resurrection responses, and I'm going to look at a passage in John 21, 1 through 14. That's what we're going to be today, and we're going to look at these resurrection responses found in the Gospel of John. And before we do, let us pray. God, you loved us so much that you gave us your one and only Son so that we could have life and life abundantly. Come today and fill our hearts with the reality of the resurrection. Help us to see and know the reality of the resurrection that calls each of us to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been challenging people, too, if you've just listened for the first time, to email me with your resurrection response. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to you? How has the resurrection of Jesus transformed your life? My greatest joy in ministry is to see people's lives transformed by the love of God. And you can email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship, and I want to hear what God is doing in your life. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 21, 1 through 14. Last week, we were in John 20, and we saw how Jesus showed up into the upper room twice. Not one time, but twice with the doors locked, and he ministered to their fear, and he brought them to faith. In John 21, we're going to pick up 1 through 14. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, we talked about Thomas last week, the twin, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Verse 3, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I wonder, I'm going to stop there for a minute in verse 3. How often do we maybe experience a powerful resurrection moment, or we experience the hope of the resurrection or the power of the resurrection or the joy of the resurrection, and a week later, we go back to doing what we normally do, or maybe sometimes we go back to doing what we shouldn't do. I should say that. Here, Peter says, I'm going out to fish. Now, Jesus never told him to go out and fish. But Simon Peter says, I'm going out to fish. And you know what? All the other people, all the other disciples, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, they all say, we're going with you. Maybe how often do we get caught in the trap of doing something because someone else is doing it? And it's verse 4. It says, very early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. How often do we not realize that Jesus is with us? In verse 5, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. It's interesting, too. They were honest. They didn't have any fish. They could have told a fish story. "Oh, we caught the big one, but it got away." No, they say, "No, we don't have any fish," in verse 6. And he said to them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." What's interesting in that, when I read it, is here's this man standing on the shore. They don't recognize him. They're professional fishermen. They've been fishing all night. That means they went out at dusk, and they're fishing till daybreak, tossing the net all night, 7-8 hours of tossing the net side to side. They don't catch any fish. And here's a man they don't recognize standing on the shore saying, "Toss the net on the other side." And they do it. And when they did it, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Verse 7. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Don't miss this in verse 9. Jesus didn't need their fish. He already was preparing breakfast for them, but he was teaching them how to listen and obey. There was already fish on the fire and some bread. Verse 10 says, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of your fish that you've just caught." And verse 11, Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Many scholars have doubted or even debated, I would say, whether chapter 21 belongs to John or not. The last two verses of chapter 20 seem to be a fitting end to the gospel. We looked at those last week, but if you have your Bible, flip back to the end of chapter 20. I'll read it to you. This is how chapter 20 ends. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." That's how chapter 20 ends. Maybe we should just stop there, because we talked about believing. Blessed are those who believe and have never seen. I believe that chapter 21 was written to demonstrate the reality of the resurrection. That's what I'm challenging you as you listen to these programs, the reality of the resurrection. Share your resurrection response. Share your resurrection response, not just with me. Share your resurrection response with your family, your friends, your coworkers. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to you? Or maybe you've just gone back to doing things like you normally do. There were many people who said that the appearance of the risen Christ was just a vision, a figment of the disciples' imagination. Many would admit the reality of the visions, but insist that they were still only visions. Some people would say that the disciples had hallucinated. The gospel writers go out of their way to tell us that the risen Christ was not a vision. What vision could talk with the disciples and point out the right place to throw their net? What vision or hallucination could kindle a fire on the seashore and cook a meal and share that meal? The reality of the resurrection is at the center of what we believe. Let me say that again. The reality of the resurrection of Jesus is at the center of what we believe. Who would be willing to die for a lie? The reality of the resurrection is what gave the disciples the power to die for what they believed. So the question comes to me, who would be willing to die for a lie? The reality of the resurrection is what gives us the hope of eternal life. In our story today, there's a list of seven disciples who went fishing on the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. The names of Peter and Thomas, which appear in the first and second position, are obviously significant. Thomas is the doubter to whom Jesus appeared and whose story is told just verses before. We studied that this past week. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, you can go to our website and listen to the message on www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Thomas gets an appearance of Christ, and he hears that story where Jesus says, "Put your hands into my wounds." Peter is the denier who is recommissioned to service in the verses immediately following this. I'd encourage you to read the rest of John 21. Jesus recommissions Peter. Can we miss out on the fact that the church is made up of doubters, deniers, and sinners of all kind? I think that's important. There's no one in the church today that is without sin. There's no one in the church today that probably doesn't have doubts or fears or maybe even denied their faith. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. And if you have any special prayer concerns, you can email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com or go to our church's website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. And let our prayer team pray for you. But what we're talking about is the reality of the resurrection, and that the church is filled with people who have been doubters and deniers. Maybe, just maybe, the names of the last two disciples in our story today are not given to us that we could put our names in the story, because we're told that there were Peter and Thomas and Nathaniel and James and John and two others. Our lives are touched by the reality of the resurrection. We are forever changed, and we can dream again. So what is your response to the resurrection? I keep bringing that up week after week, and I think it's so important for us to think about. What is our response to the resurrection? In John 11, 21 to 26, when Jesus comes and to meet Mary and Martha, it's one of my favorite stories where he raises Lazarus from the dead. The disciples had gone to get Jesus, and he waits 4 days. Lazarus dies. He's in the tomb, and Mary and Martha are grieving. And in verse 21 through 26 of John 11, Jesus comes walking to Bethany where Lazarus is buried. And Martha says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." I'm going to just share personally, when my brother passed away, I think that's how I felt. I wonder how Martha really said it. Maybe she said it, you know, shouting. Maybe she said it weepingly. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask," is what Martha said. And Jesus said to her in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" John 11, 21 through 26. But 25 and 26 are powerful. It's one of the great I am statements Jesus makes. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you're struggling with medical concerns, if you're struggling with financial concerns, if you're dealing with some relationship issues or a broken relationship. I don't know what's going on in your life, but Jesus does, and Jesus wants to walk into your life. And my prayer is that you'll hear him say, "I am the resurrection of your life. I am the resurrection of your life in your concerns, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. I am the resurrection of your life. And if you believe in me, you will live even though maybe your dream will die, or your relationship will die, or maybe your finances will run out. He says, if you believe in me, you will live even if you die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he ends it with a powerful question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I think of the disciples when they go back fishing in John 21, and I'm going to go back to John 21. They go fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and they've gone fishing, and they've been with Jesus for three and a half years, and they've seen the miracle after miracle after miracle. But do you realize that's where Jesus found them 3 years earlier? I want to read a passage from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. In verse 20, at once they left their nets and followed him. This is the record. Matthew records it in chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. This is the record of the first time that Peter and Andrew meet Jesus, and they're fishing. They're casting their net, and Jesus says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In verse 20, at once or immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. In John chapter 1, verse 35 through 39, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? In verse 39, Jesus says, come, he replied, and you will see. In Matthew chapter 4, he says, come, follow me. In John 1, he says, come, and you will see. I'm going to give you one more passage, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Wow, maybe you're a little tired right now. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In John 21, verses 12 through 14, we opened with this. I want to come back to it. Jesus said to him, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, he took the bread, and he gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. My question today is, Jesus is calling you. He's calling you, come, follow me, or come and see, or come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's saying, come and have breakfast. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead changes everything. The call of the resurrection does not change. Jesus says, and he continues to say, come, follow me. Jesus is calling you right now, and it's really simple. I'm going to ask you just to pause for a minute and listen for his voice. In the midst of all your busy activities, in the midst of your phone messages and listening on the radio or whatever you're doing, stop. Stop for a moment and listen for his voice, and he'll say, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women. He says, come and see. You want to know where Jesus lives? That's what the disciples said in John. Where do you live? Where are you staying? And Jesus said, come, and you will see. Maybe you're just all worn out. Maybe you are really burdened with physical issues, maybe medical issues, maybe financial issues, maybe personal issues that are going on. Maybe you are just overwhelmed and weary and burdened. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you looking for rest? There's no better place than to rest in Jesus' arms. I have a chair in my office. I call it the Jesus chair, and when people come for pastoral care or counseling, I ask them to sit in the Jesus chair. I have a blanket with it's a quilted blanket with the picture of Jesus on it, and I ask people to just wrap up in the blanket for a moment. Feel Jesus holding you. Yes, I know this is visual, and it may be sound a little crazy at times, but I can tell you, when we slow down, take away all of our electronics, take away all of the activities, and just sit with Jesus for a moment, it starts to drain our weariness, starts to drain our worries, starts to drain our burdens. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. If you're weary and burdened, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, come follow me, come and see, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And finally, in John 21, it's the last time he uses it, he says, come and eat, come and eat, come and eat, come and have breakfast. And I can tell you, and I'm going to challenge you with a so what this week. Your so what is your response to the call of the resurrection? From the beginning of Jesus's ministry, he says, come. To the ending of Jesus's ministry, he says, come. Come follow me. Come and see. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And come and eat. Come and have breakfast. I don't know what's holding you back. I don't know if it's fear or doubt, shame or guilt, but I want to tell you that it's never too late to come to Jesus. It's never too late to see God, Jesus heal you, to restore you, to reconcile you, to bring you hope. That's my prayer, that you'll come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and know his great love for you. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we come today to know the risen Christ. We come today to be relieved of our weariness and our worries and our burdens. And Lord, I specifically pray for the person that's listening today who is just overwhelmed, maybe with fear or doubt or shame or guilt. Come to them and speak to them, speak peace to them, and surround them. And let them hear those words, come to me. In Jesus' name we pray. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, and we'll send you a Bible if you need one. We'll pray for you. My joy is to see your life transformed by the love of Christ. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.